Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Do you think I'll die if I drink out of it? I wash the glitter out.
No, if you wash the glitter out, you're fine.
Okay, what if I didn't use, like, soap?
I would wash it with soap.
Okay, fine.
Does it smell like epoxy?
Yeah, it smells like something.
Yeah, I would wash it.
I don't know what epoxy smells like.
Well, if it smells like something, I assume that's epoxy.
Your excuse.
All right, hello.
Hi there, and welcome
to What's Your Excuse,
the podcast that we talk about why we're weird.
I'm Megan.
I'm Caitlin,
and we are on Zoom today.
Yeah.
We're on Zoom because I have been exposed to a positive case of corona. Potentially two positive cases, but who knows? I quit my job.
Hell yeah.
Yep. So, you know, just living the quarantine life right now.
Quarantine dream.
Yeah. I should get my second test result back, hopefully today.
I forget they're like testing and everything today too. So,
yeah.
Hopefully. Yep. I got two COVID tests yesterday because I panicked, and all of a sudden I like had a little like just like my allergies, and so I was freaked out and was like, oh my god, I have COVID.
Yeah, every time my head starts to hurt right now, I'm like, is it COVID?
Yeah, I took my temperature like 80 times. Did that, you know, I had a small migraine, but like I always have a migraine, so I'm like, But I'm hoping, you know, both those tests will come back.
Yeah.
With.
Well, and the thing is like, you know, the whole reason I quit was just a lack of care for employees and customers.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put them on blast and say where it was, but I will not.
Don't shop.
but it's that if you have seen someone who has a positive case, you've been exposed.
Yeah.
And I was being told that that's not exposure if they had a mask on, unless they were breathing on you, which I'm like, what do you think everyone else who's had community spread has been doing? Just like walking around like on each other?
Yeah. No.
That's not what's happening.
Not great.
So if your company doesn't care about customers or employees, you should leave too.
Yeah, Gray, the other day, whenever I freaked out, so yesterday, they were like, go home if you think that you have it, like, get the fuck out of it. Like, okay, I was like, even if I don't have a fever, they're like, yeah, until you get your test results, stay the fuck away.
And that's what we were told, but we were also told we were told that even though we had worked with the person who had a positive case, unless we started showing symptoms, we were fine to work.
So
I disagree with that approach.
All beforehand. Yeah, because you can have it before you have your symptoms.
Exactly.
Or show symptoms.
Yeah.
So that's
what's been going on. In other news, I hope everyone liked the story that Kale shared with us.
Yeah, that's fucking wild about like the whole dinner guest, like the whole dinner party.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, what? And then that last part, what happened? I forgot.
The principal just said, like, principal, headmaster, I guess, just kind of said, like, yeah, the house, she has weird nights.
Yeah.
So, like, you know that guy has been living with that.
Yeah, he's just like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a really good story, and a billion thanks.
Yeah, we would love to have more of them.
Yes. I do have my small school story that I alluded to in that episode.
Yeah, because that's what we're going to talk about today, are haunted schools.
Yes, that's right. I also have some other excuses / we have an actual excuse today.
Yeah.
And so calling it back to our roots.
Yeah.
Our roots of
bringing it back, guys.
We are. But they also provided a spooky story too. So
great.
But anyways, should I tell my little personal experience? My personal
sure. Yeah.
Story. So at one of the schools I teach at, there is this cafetorium that's where we have to rehearse. And it's, you know, it's got that stage in there with also their whole cafeteria, and above, like where the lunch lines are, there's like the sound room for the stage, and it's up there, and it's just like these cutouts in the wall, like there's no like windows or anything, and then it's just open, and like I could feel, I swore I saw like figures up there all the time, and so that was creepy. But we call this ghost the Dasani ghost. water. Because there is one time my students and I were leaving, and when we end rehearsal, it's like 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
By the time that we're all actually leaving, we get everything packed up. Mm-hmm. So it's dark. And then I have to be the one that turns the lights out, you know, actually I have my students do it most times, but like I have to be there. I have to make sure everything's locked up and taken.
Right. Care. You can't just leave your students there alone. Yeah. Exactly. Like, bye guys.
Bye. Hope you don't get kidnapped. And so we were leaving one day, and I had my back to the cafeteria door to go out and to the actual outside. And I was just waiting there for my student, and she's actually written in to the show. She wrote in the one about with the owl and the love. But she was the one who turned off the lights, and she was walking up towards me, and she was probably about 20 yards away from me when all of a sudden I saw this like white figure pass behind her. Ugh. And then it passed like through the little cookie stand, and then it went into the Dasani machine, and as soon as the figure hit the machine, the Dasani machine lights like went out.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then they quickly came back on, but like she saw the horror just go over my face, where I was like, ah. And she was like, "What's going on?" I was like, "We need to get out of here right now."
Yeah, we gotta go.
She started running. Uh-huh. We both just screaming and leaving the school. But yeah, it was a good time. And so that, you know, nothing harmful, but we always just joke that that's the Dasani ghost in there.
Yeah.
At one point, when I was dating Torah, he drove my car a lot, and
right,
one night he forgot me and forgot to come get me, and so then I didn't realize this because I was in the process of like making sure my kids were okay, and at this is when we lived in Hewitt.
Uh-huh.
So close. And he had to, it's like once I finally got a hold of him, you know, it was like 9:30, and it was about 10 o'clock at night or so. I had to wait there 30 minutes by myself in the dark, because I'd already turned off all the lights.
Yeah.
And it was freezing cold and raining outside, and I still chose to wait outside in the freezing rain with like no jacket, because I was not about to stand in that cafetorium by myself.
Oh my God, no.
I was like, nope. And then there's this shed next to it, and I all of a sudden heard this banging coming from it. I don't know if like wind was on it, but I was like, I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
Then I, you know, made my amends in that moment. Whatever.
You need yourself your last rites.
Yep. So, okay. But I did have my rifle and my saber with me. So I was like, if it comes down to it, I have two weapons.
Yeah.
That hopefully they're using close contact weapons too, and not a gun.
Yeah.
Then I'd just be dead. But
well, you know.
You know. Anyway, so that's my little recent haunted school story, the Dasani ghost. I think that's what we should name the episode, Dasani.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
Intriguing. Makes you go, what? That's
stupid. Yeah.
Let me know.
I like it. Name of the episode. So, what school did you research?
I did a university.
Okay.
But do you want to go first, since I just talked about it, or should we, I'll just tell you the school I did.
Sure. And
talk about your school.
Yeah.
So I did Kenyon College
in
Gambier, Ohio.
I don't know. I'm sure it's Gambier, Ohio.
But they really like that flair.
They're known for that French flair.
It's probably Gambier. It's G-A-M-B-I-E-R. Gambier. It's probably Gambier.
Yeah. I don't fucking know.
If you're here for facts, you're at the wrong spot.
Wrong spot. Don't fact check.
What does that sound?
Don't check our pronunciation.
Yes.
Ever. So I did Metz Elementary School in Austin. It's in East Austin. I recently was listening to a podcast that I really like called The Night Owl. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So like,
probably told me it before or something.
Yeah. Typically they do like 2 to 3 episode series where they go and someone reaches out to them, says, this place is haunted. We want you to come and investigate, possibly cleanse it, blah, blah, blah. And they have the host of the show, and they have one sensitive, and then they have a spiritual, like almost cleanser, and he's actually Native American.
Okay.
And he's familiar with like those kinds of cleansings, and he does other kinds of cleansings, but like it's really interesting to hear the, like, when it is something that he's like, this was a Native American thing and this is how we cleanse it, like that's really interesting to me, because not all cleansings are the same.
Yeah, he really covers all his bases there, huh?
Yeah. And so they also have these hometowns basically, and one of them was about Metz Elementary.
Okay.
And I found it really, really interesting. They call them campfires. And I believe it was the campfire number 7, the Metz Elementary episode. So I did some research, and they go more in depth than I will be able to, because they have like actual witnesses and like people who work there and all of that.
Sorry. I can't. Chris is like creeping. Funny. Anyways.
So they have like actual witnesses and people that worked there during the time when a bunch of stuff was happening. We don't have that.
Yeah, we don't.
But I have some history. Okay. So it was built in 1915.
That's old for elementary school?
Uh-huh.
It's still around?
Well, hang on.
Okay. So,
initially it was built in 1915, but in the fall of 1990, Torres Trucking and Excavation was hired to demolish and rebuild it.
Okay.
It is located on Austin's east side.
I was going to say, we need to take a trip and go visit this elementary school.
Yeah. It was deemed, I assume this is why they demolished and rebuilt it, is because it had been deemed unsalvageable because of safety concerns. Mm-hmm. And AISD opted to have it stripped to the studs. But the project came to a halt when rumors of paranormal activity began to circulate around the demolition site.
Ooh, fun.
One worker claimed he saw the ghost of a boy watching him out of the bathroom window. Others said they could hear groups of children giggling within the empty rooms. The sound of chalk screeching down unseen chalkboards echoed through the halls. So, like, they had, like, stripped it, or they had, like, started the demolition, and there weren't chalkboards up anymore, and they could hear chalk screeching down a chalkboard.
I feel like, so my parents are from Austin. I feel like my mom's told me this story before.
Oh, maybe.
This is all sounding very familiar.
Yeah. And it says, strange drawings were left scribbled on the walls of barren classrooms.
Oh, wow.
Joe Torres, the demolition's leader, said that his brand new watch stopped ticking every time he stepped foot on the property. Even heavy machinery such as bulldozers brought in to raise the school started to falter. It's kind of hard for me to swallow, admitted Torres, according to the article, an article in Austin American Statesman. I'm not superstitious, but you walk through and think if these walls could talk. Eventually, Elias Limon of the Casa Guadalupe Catholic Center was brought in to put an end to the haunting. Armed with holy water and a prayer book, he implored the spirits to leave before the walls came tumbling down. The demolition was completed, but Limon's prayers apparently only had temporary effect, as the renovated campus is still inundated with reports of haunted activity to this day. Okay. Now, I have to see where I got that from, because I don't remember. That was from Austin Monthly. And then I found another article about it. And it basically just does the same thing. You know, lunch menus had been replaced by graffiti. That's why they, like, a lot of this stuff was why they decided to demolish and rebuild. So the dilapidated building was not as empty as it looked. So here's a little more history on Metz Elementary. It opened in 1916. That same year, the school board decided, Austin ISD decided, that Spanish-speaking children should attend a separate school. Great. The board felt that children would learn better if they had lessons in Spanish as well as English. Up until that time, the Mexican-American community in Austin had not formally protested any action taken by the school board, but many people from the neighborhood most affected appeared before the board to disagree with the decision. Good. The proposed school would be several miles away, making transportation difficult for the children and their parents. There was also a concern that if Spanish-speaking students were segregated, they would not have the same opportunities as those who spoke English. Of course.
Yeah.
So, while the board never formally backed down from its position, Spanish-speaking students who attended the nearby school, Metz Elementary, were never asked to leave or to attend the other school. After a period of time, the matter was quietly dropped. It says it did serve the school for the better part of 8 decades.
Oh, wow.
But by 1989, the school was considered too small to meet the growing needs of the surrounding neighborhood. Which makes sense. I mean, East Austin, I mean, even now, so I grew up in Austin, and I remember always, you know, East Austin, when I was there up until like 2004 was when we moved out. We lived there from like 2000 to 2004. So like all of my formative years. By the time we moved, really when we were there, East Austin was like, you know, that's not where people wanted to buy real estate.
Yeah.
But now, or really, by the time we moved, people were buying the houses, bulldozing them, and rebuilding these. They were gentrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'd buy these houses at, like, rock bottom prices and then rebuild it for a much higher price. They didn't anticipate any problems when they started the work. But then everything, you know, from the first day that someone or something wanted to make, it became apparent on the first day that something was making the job almost impossible. They talk about the children's laughter, even though they had been assured that the condemned building was empty. Because, you know, they hear kids laughing. They don't want to bulldoze this fucking building.
What if kids snuck in and dead?
Yeah.
Killed 5 kids. Like,
yeah. Writing on the blackboards when no one had been nearby. Equipment had been running perfectly before they reached the site, and then they reached the site and it would break down.
That's insane that it's that much power to fuck up a bulldozer. Like,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's like when you go fuck up cars too. It freaks me out.
Yeah. A bunch of the workmen's watches would stop running whenever they would attempt to pull down the walls. And they had to stop construction because men would just quit or not show up for work. And finally, they were like, we're not giving in to supernatural pressure, because that's how every smart person deals with it, is to be like, no, fuck this. Yeah. You're not real. They continue trying to work, even as strange accidents plague them. Finally, after a workman was fatally injured in a wall collapse, that's when the priest was brought.
Is there a story that the kids pushed it on him?
I don't remember.
Okay. That's
probably in the Night Owl episode.
Well, that I think is what my mom always told me growing up about this haunted elementary school. And she said, like, all this was sounding familiar. And then, yes, a wall collapsed on someone. But the rumor was that the kids pushed it on him.
Yeah.
That could all be completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what my 7-year-old brain remembers.
In your mom's negligee.
Motherfucker.
It did.
I was like, was my school haunted in North Carolina? And I was like, something was fucked up with it. I was spending the night on my kindergarten t-shirt.
It does say that the occurrences made national news, and it's plagued people all over as to what happened there. It stands almost in the same spot as the old Metz Elementary, fulfills the same role in the community. And then this is a good line. Perhaps the ties to the neighborhood and the school are so strong that some students never really leave. Now, in 2019... this was the other part of research. Sorry, I have a lot of research.
No, you're great. I didn't do a lot of research today because, you know, when I remembered to research,
2:55.
It was at 2:13. And I went, oh fuck! I guessed this topic.
Perfect. So I found this article. I know it said it was from 2019, but it's from East Austin. And it's mine. It says a Metz Elementary parent has launched a petition in efforts to save the school from closure amid an Austin ISD plan calling for a dozen schools to be shuttered. Just closed.
Oh, okay.
Down all these schools. They were promised by the school district 2 years before that they would stave off school closings. She said, we have followed the process and waited with no plan of action into keeping the schools open as if they want them to fail so they won't meet standards. So basically they were like, if you follow these rules and you meet these standards, we won't close out your school. And then now they're like, we're going to close Metz Elementary. Which to me, I mean, like, I look at things like this and I immediately, like, racial disparity.
Yeah.
Racial and classism.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's East Austin. You are trying to push out lower income people from that neighborhood, obviously, by refusing to allow them a elementary school for their children to learn at, mm-hmm. and make them have to drive farther to go to school, which means they're then going to have to move closer to that school.
Yeah.
Amid dwindling student enrollment, AISD is exploring streamlining options, one of which includes a proposal to close 12 schools. And then it lists all of them. Under the district's plan, the school students would be consolidated with other schools, the district superintendent wrote in a letter to the AISD community. It's just something different. Like, AISD just selected to close Metz Elementary in their recommendations. Our school in the heart of Eastside on Willow Street, she added, substituting the central word with a heart symbol. Please sign this petition as we fight to save our childhood school that our grandparents, ourselves, and our children attend. We must save our Metz is the best. It's just interesting to see how this school, like, what's happening to it in that area, and kind of just like a different point of view, because it's not just a ghost story. It's not just a paranormal site. It's a place that has a reason to exist, and it's to educate people.
Yeah.
And to close down, it's to educate people that maybe in other situations wouldn't have the means for that kind of, for elementary school. And elementary school is very important.
Yeah.
And when you live too far from an elementary school, you're going to be absent more, and you're going to miss a lot of information that's like basic information that you need to succeed with the rest of your education.
And attendance policies are so strict too, like miss, and then they're going to get like held back and stuff like that, or have to go to Saturday school or something, which is just then even more pressure on parents and stuff like that. It just, it gets out of hand real fast.
Yeah. And it sounds like Mets has a great STEM program. They have dual language, robust range of science, technology, engineering, and math. That's STEM, duh. The tightly knit school community offers a world of educational opportunities from arts and athletics to reading and robotics to ensure all children reach their fullest potential.
Robotics in elementary school? Mm-hmm. Fuck, where was I?
Mets has computers in every single classroom to connect students to the world. Mets is part of the Eastside Memorial Family of Schools, which offers STEM programs at every grade level and is part of the district's new creative learning initiative to offer a quality arts-rich education to every child. It's just crazy that a school like that is closing, or that they're considering closing it.
Yeah.
But if you're interested, you can go and sign, if it's still happening, go and sign that petition. If you're in Austin, try and reach out and reach out to Austin ISD and see what's going on with it now. I don't know if it's still current.
Keep it open for ghost tours, if nothing else.
I think that article from 2019, but it says something about from 2021. Yeah. So that's it. That's what I have on Mets. Go listen to the Night Owl podcast. They have a really in-depth episode.
Night Owl. I don't know if anyone did a podcast over mine.
Well, and they're in Austin, Night Owl.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they do a lot of like Austin locations that are paranormal locations.
Apparently El Paso has a fuck ton of haunted.
Oh, yeah.
When I was looking, I was like, everything was like, El Paso, El Paso, El Paso, El Paso. I was like, damn, 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 damn.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Jasmine with the New Black Collective.
And what's up? It's Dave ER from Change Waco.
Don't forget to subscribe to Stories of the Streets. Well, we'll be here every other week bringing you expert stories and also stories from local Wacoans.
Stories of the Streets is an association with the New Black Collective, Change Waco, and Rogue Media. Tell your friends, tell your family, shout out to the streets. Tune in as much as y'all can.
And I'm Josie.
And we're your judges. And this is By the Cupboard. No, wait. Do you want us to... Oh, shit.
Okay, we'll try it again.
Okay. Hi, I'm Becca.
And I'm Josie.
And we're your judges on By the Cover, a new podcast.
Yeah, we're a talk show. God,
we're a Josie.
Yeah, we're a comedy talk show centered around Amazon book review culture. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher,
wherever podcasts are.
All the places.
There. You can't hide from us. Anyway, listen to our show. We're going to be funny. We're going to be talking about books, and it's going to be great.
Yay! Promo over. The words I'm singing now mean nothing more than me.
Looking for a job? Check out ResWrite.
ResWrite offers resumes, cover letters, and LinkedIn profiles for individuals searching for new opportunities.
Resumes start at just $30.
Check out ResWrite.com for more info and use my code ResWriteRMN10 for 10% off all services.
Again, that is ResWriteRMN10, which is ResWriteRM, as in mom, N as in nachos, 10. For 10% off all services. What? Nachos was a good thing.
I decided to go to Gambier. I don't know how to say it. However, a little bit of history on it. It is one of the oldest and most prestigious colleges. Sorry, I'm just gonna have fun with these now. In the Midwest, it was founded in 1821.
Oh my God.
It's fucking old.
Yeah.
By Ohio's first Episcopal bishop, Philander Chase.
Great. Philander Chase.
Huh?
Sorry.
What'd you say?
I said Philander or Chase.
Oh. Sorry.
No, I realized after it came out, I was like, that's offensive.
I lost my spot, though. Here we go. Okay. So Kenyon has long been ranked one of the nation's top liberal arts colleges and has been named a hidden Ivy for its excellence and relative obscurity. Yeah, I fucking never heard of it. Mm-hmm. Would have popped up on a ghost list because I did my research an hour ago. Anyways, in addition to one of the most beautiful campuses in the U.S., Kenyon boasts another distinction. It's one of the most haunted colleges in America as well. And they don't keep it under wraps, which I think is cool. There's a professor, Tim Shutt. He has long led a ghost tour of the college, taking lovers of the spooky and dark to the campus's most haunted locations, which I think is so cool. If you're going to have it, fucking embrace it, you know?
Yes.
Like, that's a selling point. Like, I don't. Every time going to Bastrop and we drive past the Hewitt Mansion from the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Uh-huh.
And it's not open for tours. I'm like, who are you? What are you doing? I would be like, you want to take a picture in front of this house? $5. Let's go. We're going to charge money. Like, if you've got something like that, there's such a giant following for it. Yeah. Like, fucking take their money. Take their money.
Absolutely.
And that's my inner Capricorn speaking.
Perfect.
So now, some of those haunted places that Tim Shutt will take you includes the Old Kenyon Residence Hall, which has a couple of prominent ghost stories. And the oldest ghost is one named Stuart Pearson, who died in a fraternity hazing gone wrong in 1905. Yeah.
Not surprising.
No. No.
Turns out hazing should never have been allowed.
Yes. Never. And the fact that it still goes on.
Yeah.
Like, why? Also, why do people choose to go be a part of that? If you're going to, like, literally torture me, no thanks. I'm good.
Pass.
Maybe later. Yeah. But anyways, so fraternity brothers left him on a trestle, promising to return for him later. But in the night, he was struck and killed by a train. So I guess they, like, straight up tied him up. The members of the DKE, I don't know Greek letters at all. So fraternity still pay tribute each year, carrying a coffin to the trestle and reading the coroner's report, which I'm like,
that's nice. Wouldn't it have been nicer if the man hadn't died?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe just like don't haze people, but
yeah.
At least they're still honoring him to like tell him for their mistakes. I hope they do it till the world blows up.
Sure. But did they stop hazing also?
Probably not. They're like, oh, well, we just won't tie him to train tracks.
Yeah.
So in 1949, a tragic fire in Old Kenyon killed 9 students who are said to occasionally wake up current residents with their shout warnings to get out. Ooh. Which, oh God, could you imagine waking up?
No.
freak me the fuck out. Just waking up. Can you imagine waking up, Megan?
I do every day. I
dread it every single day. But the Capels Residence Hall also hosts the spirit of a young man who fell down the shaft trying to escape a stuck elevator in 1979.
Ooh. Shit.
This is scary. Residents have reported being woken up at night by an invisible person stinking of alcohol and sitting on their bed, which honestly sounds par for the course at most colleges.
Yeah.
And then this was the part that I was like, okay, this is the one we're doing. Says, don't forget the gates of hell. And I said,
oh, yes.
What? And the stone pillars at the entrance to South Campus, where, according to legend, anyone passing through at midnight will be transported straight to hell.
Didn't T-Gog do this a few weeks ago, the gates to hell?
They did some about gates to hell, and they did... in Kansas, Chris has actually been to that location that they talked about because he lived in Kansas and he was like, there's another place right near it that's even like worse, or like the people just like straight up left and so I incriminate them, but they went in and this house was like completely abandoned, like vinyl still in sleeves and like really nice bicycle. What are they called? Motorcycles.
Motor bicycles.
But yeah, so everything was still there and like the people just like straight up and left, and I guess they took some things and sold them. Made some money because they were really good.
You know what? Good for them.
Yeah. You know, they weren't missing it, apparently.
Yeah.
Wherever they went, who knows?
You know, leave your shit behind. You don't need it.
Exactly. There's like at least 80 gates to hell in the U.S. alone.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd be curious. What if I go on a gates of hell road trip and just hit them all? You want to go with me?
No.
You can drive the whole time.
I'm good.
I will get us there very fast, though.
No, thank you. That sounds like two nightmares for me all at once.
I do nothing. But yeah, so that's really all I had on Kenyon College. Not a lot, but gates of hell seem fun. Passing through on midnight. I mean, it's always got to be something, you know.
Yeah.
You can't just like waltz right in ever.
Yeah.
No. Hey, what up, Satan? Like,
yeah.
You can't just go do that. Oh, well.
No. So. But,
oh, I have that story. Do you have a story?
No, I was going to ask you to share yours.
Okay. So one of them, the ghost story itself is kind of long. So since I alluded to the, and I want to actually do a little bit more research on this place, but since I alluded to the actual excuse, this one cracked me up. Okay. I met this person, Chris, the girl, my old roommate. She had a small little get together for her birthday at One Day Waco.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all outside, you know, and I think we're all smart people, so none of us really wanted to be too close to each other.
Sure.
So we're like, what do you think? Like yelling across this courtyard at each other, trying to have a conversation. But this one cracked me up as soon as he told me his name's Harrison. Super funny, chill dude. I never met him before tonight, but that night. But
tonight.
I never met him. I've never met him.
Yeah. I'm making this all up.
Yeah. This is all a figment of my imagination.
Yeah.
But I was like, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to our original excuses. So this is an excuse he was given as he was a TA at Baylor. And so he put, last spring I TA'd for Professor Davis, a philosophy professor at Baylor. And when he was getting his PhD at St. Louis University, so this actually happened to Professor Davis. He was getting his PhD at St. Louis University. He discovered that a student had copy and pasted an entire essay from an online source and submitted it as his own work. So plagiarism. Yeah. And he said, it was a famous essay by a prominent moral philosopher. So it was easy for Davis to track down. He said, when he tracked it down, he brought the student into his office and asked, you know that submitting another author's work as your own is plagiarism, right? And the student said, yes. And then he showed the essay published in its original source and said, well, this is the essay by Alasdair MacIntyre. And he said, I think that was the author, but I'm not sure. And and then the student pipes up and says, I didn't realize that meant it was someone else's work, though. Like, you can't just... And I didn't realize it was someone else's work. He just took someone else's entire essay and just was like, probably wrote like two sentences. This is my thesis. Copy, paste.
God.
My wine over. Smacked it in. And then, but what my favorite part was of this is that it had to do with moral philosophy.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely the best part of it all.
Moral philosophy. And then you come in here. Maybe he was like doing his own study, you know, just trying to see.
Maybe.
Not really. That probably
was a study.
But yeah, so that cracked me up. He also told me about another a cool haunted house that I will save for a later date. But yeah, I'd be excited to delve more into it because he actually sent me a link about the house itself.
And oh, nice. So
I want to actually read that because I didn't read it.
Great.
I just researched for this podcast, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't read it. That's anyway. Fine.
We'll do it at another day.
Yeah. But that's all that I have.
That's all I have, my good friend.
Good friend. That's me.
That's right.
Yeah. Ew.
What?
There's something on my computer. It looks like food.
Mm, taste and see.
Got food on my computer. But so that's all we have. If you have any fun, like, you can still send excuses in. It does not only be ghost stories. We still would love to hear excuses, which was the origins of this podcast.
Yeah.
So if you got them and you want to send them, or
send them our way.
You got any cool ghost stories about schools? Did you spend the night at your kindergarten teacher's house? Wear your mom's negligee?
That's not a ghost story. That's just a weird story.
My real life. Yeah. But maybe her house was haunted.
Maybe. Maybe that's what possessed her to let all those kids stay the night.
Like 10 kindergarten kids come spend the night at her house. I swear it's going to be bigger than that. I don't know.
Oh,
but
God.
Yeah, if you've got them, send them our way. You can always send us an email. Wait, do you always say it and then I tell it? No. You can just send us an email. And what? You got it?
I say it and then you usually say what the email address is.
Okay. Let's switch.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So you want me to say it?
Yes.
All right. You can send us an email if you want to reach out and the email address is...
whatsyourexcusepodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can reach us on Instagram. Make sure and go and like our Insta or follow us on Instagram. And that's
What's Your Excuse Podcast. All one word, no spaces, no capitalization, no apostrophes, nothing proper.
And also you can message us on there and send us anything you'd like. And you can also follow us on, or like us on Facebook. Sorry, I don't know lingo, apparently. Like us on Facebook, and that is?
What's Your Excuse Podcast with spaces and apostrophes, because there...
We're not animals.
That's right. We're not at media today. But
we're not. We're at our homes, but media is recording us.
Old symbol on my computer showing
that's right.
That we're there in spirit.
That's right. And then what else? You can listen to us on Spotify.
Also Google Play.
Apple Podcasts.
And Stitcher. And now
Pandora. Yay.
I don't know. People still use that.
I didn't know either. Also, since I'm unemployed now, make sure and go like Shop Dandy Aesthetic.
That's right. Do it. And go buy Oliver Cups. I have my new one right here. Super cute Halloween drip.
Yeah.
It was soap first.
Yes.
Good. Apparently point. Using my fingers is not good.
And also make sure and follow Sloppy Seconds Vintage.
That's right. Sloppy Seconds will be having their first pop-up in-person shopping experience at the October 25th Skellington Curiosities Market. There's costumes encouraged. There's an actual costume contest with like $200 worth of prizes or some shit.
Yeah. So,
like, come to win. I will be wearing an all vintage costume.
Great.
And I will be like trying to pick out some things that I think would work for costumes that are vintage as well. So that way you can have a little bit more of a sustainable Halloween.
Yes. We love that.
So come follow us, follow Sloppy Seconds Vintage on Instagram for more information about that. Buy all of Megan's cups. She just got some cool vinyl ones in.
I did.
That are cheap.
Yeah. So that's it.
That's it. We also have Patreon donors, though. That we always forget about. But God, do we appreciate y'all.
We really do. It's just, it's also weird that we're on Zoom, so it's hard to remember everything we have to right now.
Yeah, our whole setup's a little thrown off.
Jeffrey.
Okay.
Shelby. Mm-hmm. Brian. Mm-hmm. And Amanda. Mm-hmm. And Brandon.
Brandon.
That's it.
Anyways, yep. Thanks for joining us on this Zoom call today.
That's right. Thank you so much.
If you have haunted stories, tell us. Well, that's all, folks.
That's it.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye now.
What's your excuse?
Yeah, that's all, folks. All
right.
I'm Piggy. Goodbye.
This has been a Rogue Media Network podcast.